White text appears over a gradient of colors. Logo, 2B Originals. A white square folds into an origami airplane. Logo, Cartel. Credits appear. A 2B original film. A Cartel Pictures production.
No!
At night, an old man with a white beard hurries from a Western saloon. He stumbles out the door and drops his suitcase. He glances back at it but keeps running. The old man clambers into the driver's seat of an antique Ford car. He starts the car and pulls it slowly through the quiet Western-style town while glancing out the window. He continues driving, bouncing in his seat over the dirt road. Just out of town, his headlights shine over a small figure laying in the road. He stops the car and gets out, rushing over to the young body wearing a long skirt, frilled blouse, and a bonnet.
Oh my God. Little girl, you okay? Are you okay?
As he leans over the girl, her face turns toward him, catching the beam from the headlights. The little girl has a scarecrow head, a burlap sack face with a sewn-on smile and orange buttons for eyes. The old man races back to his car and hops in frantically. Now, as he looks up at the road, the little girl is standing, with a regular human face, next to an older girl holding a noose. They stare at the old man with pale, sinister expressions. He holds his hands over his terror-stricken face as they walk towards the car. Later, the old man hangs from a noose on a gallows. He swings lifelessly under a dark blue sky. A title appears, Teardrop. Now, a blue van comes into view as it turns up the road, kicking dirt from its wheels. Text appears, present day. A man with shaggy brown hair drives the van, as a young woman with a curly afro checks her phone in the front passenger seat.
Alright, we made the left at the fork, so Lily Road should be coming up any second.
In the back, a guy yawns, stretching his arm over the brunette next to him. She cringes.
I can't find it.
This business is not gonna be on that phone. You gotta look up. You gotta eyeball it.
How'd I agree to this again?
Because the Young Riders Club needed you. Seriously, if you hadn't signed up for this field trip, we wouldn't be here. Thank you.
Well, my soul would have preferred a trip to Steinbeck's home.
Too far.
She slides on a pair of round glasses.
You look like a superhero with those glasses on.
She shrugs, smirking at him.
Like a female Clark Kent.
Wow, thanks.
I meant that as a compliment.
It didn't sound that way.
Okay, how about this? You look smart, drop dead gorgeous. How's that?
That's inappropriate.
Wow. Can't win with you, can I?
We work together. As in, I have to see you every day in the teacher's lounge until I get my tenure.
I know, I heard.
The guy in the back glances behind him at an Asian girl who grips his seat, wincing over the bumps. The cute brunette reads a book distractedly. The van pulls down the dirt drive, passing a wooden sign for Lily Road.
Oh, Lily Road!
How we doing back there, guys?
Nauseous.
The Asian girl grips the seat.
Okay, try looking out the window. Watch the road.
Are you gonna blow chunks? Hey, yo, Teach, stop the van. We got a spewer in the back seat.
The teacher stops the van and the Asian girl jumps out of her seat, sliding the van door open.
Oh, that Hershey blows.
She vomits onto the sandy ground as the woman in the front rolls down her window, looking back at her with concern.
Go outside and see if she painted the
car. I will.
The young guy gets out.
Side of the boat is all clean, Captain. Nice aim, Tila.
Sorry.
You okay, Tila?
Yeah, just need a minute.
Okay.
The cute brunette snaps her book shut with a grin.
Best book
ever.
She slides close to the teacher.
I have such a way with words. It's like I'm inside them, feeling every pain, every joy.
You liked it.
I loved it. I can't wait to read the others.
Well, it's my only one, so I appreciate it, Josie. Thank you.
Well, you really are an incredible writer, Chris.
Mr. Cotton.
You can call me Chris.
The woman in the front shakes her head, mouthing, no.
Mr. C. How about Mr. C?
She shakes her head again.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. All right, let's do it. Okay.
Yup.
All right.
Yeah.
What's
that?
Don't touch it.
Okay.
They climb back into the van and it continues down the dirt road, passing a sign that reads, Teardrop, Population 78. The van pulls around a turn on the dirt drive, surrounded by dense forested hills in the distance. They drive into a western-style town, the street and stores empty. Chris parks the van across the road from a row of buildings and the group gets out. The younger guy follows Chris with a hand stuffed in his jean jacket pocket.
So, this is Teardrop. Wow.
They stop in the road by the saloon.
Oh, it was booming back in its day. Teardrop was a gold rush town. I think the mines were supposed to be in those hills right there. But when there's something of great value, trouble always follows. So the miners would chain dogs up to the mouth of the mine to keep the thieves out. But when the gold was gone, the miners were gone. The sick bastards would leave the dogs tied up to die. Hell dogs are supposed to haunt this town now. It's said at night, you can hear them howling in pain. No one's actually ever seen them, though.
Chris grins at his students.
And that is the story of the Great Teardrop. Come on, we're checking in right here.
He motions to the saloon, then steps through double swinging doors. Chris makes his way to the bar through the empty saloon, lit by lanterns and a stream of light from the window.
Afternoon. We are looking to check in. Do you have any rooms available?
We might.
The older man behind the bar wears a badge with the name, Denver.
I would have called in advance, but I couldn't find your number anywhere.
We like to operate by word of mouth. Keeps this place from becoming a tourist trap.
Chris shifts uncomfortably in his brown leather jacket, but maintains a smile as Denver gazes back at him unblinking.
Pardon my stare. I could have sworn you checked in before.
No. No, never.
Must be deja vu, then.
Denver, is it?
Denver grins with his watery blue eyes.
Like the capital of Colorado.
Are you the owner of the hotel?
I wear all the hats, so to speak. That your family?
No. My students. They're on their senior field trip, Young Authors Club. It's their last year, so I wanted to take them somewhere unforgettable.
Our town's so forgettable, most don't know we exist.
Chris glances around.
That's exactly why we're here. So I'll need 5 rooms, if that's okay.
1 is what I've got.
Chris tilts his head questioningly.
Are you kidding?
Oh, we're almost at full capacity. Not an issue.
It just seems quiet.
Well, we have some old-timers who like to tuck in early. I don't keep tabs on my guests, but I do keep a tab.
Denver takes a short glass from the shelf behind him and turns to Chris with a bottle.
Care for a drink?
No.
Chris's smile falters as he looks at the glass.
You sure?
Yes, it's early. Thank you, I'm sure.
Denver watches him with an unfazed grin.
I do have the old judge's cabin available. Gonna cost you extra, though.
Judge?
Called him the hanging judge.
The hanging judge?
That's right.
Chris nods, then jerks his head back to the students.
They have one room and a cabin available.
Oh, well, that's perfect. So it'll be the three of us in the cabin, and then you guys can take the room.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that.
No, the obvious choice is me and Chris in the hotel.
Chris and I. AP English exam next week. And I thought we agreed on Mr. C.
I didn't agree to anything, Miss H.
A cabin in a room is fine. I'll take the girls, you take Ross. Nice to meet you. I'm Rebecca.
She holds out a hand to Denver and he glances down at it.
I've been cleaning up things in the back, man. Don't want to make your hands all filthy. Room 2 in the hotel, end of the row.
He takes 2 keys from a shelf.
Cabin, about 50 yards from there. Past the church.
Thank you, Denver.
You are very welcome.
Rebecca turns smiling uncertainly, then leads the students out.
Excuse me, mister.
Chris follows her, then turns back at Denver's call.
Sorry, the bill. So I'm assuming that this is a cash-only kind of place.
Teardrop's really more of a pit stop.
Denver leans in.
Come through, take a glance out the window, and keep on moving. I recommend you do the same.
Chris tightens his lip, smirking as he leans on the bar.
It's not my first rodeo.
You sure we haven't met before?
Oh, I'm sure. I'd remember someone like you.
He holds up his wallet.
How much?
How much do you got?
Right.
Chris tosses a few 20s on the counter and looks up at Denver. With no response, he purses his lips and adds another 20.
You can just say when.
He taps down a couple more $20 bills.
That'll do.
Chris gives a forced smile as he turns to go.
Enjoy your stay now.
Denver maintains the same even grin as he gazes over the bar. Outside, Chris steps out into the road through the group waiting for him.
All right. The cabin and the hotel are down this way, so let's go grab our bags.
Now, Chris opens the door to the hotel. It has a dark green interior with doors to rooms on either side. The cute brunette sweeps in by the teacher and turns taking a selfie in front of a grayscale portrait of 2 girls.
No way.
This is me and Ross.
Ross is us.
Oh, swim move.
Woo! Hey, I got dibs on this bad boy right here.
Ross points to a bed on the left.
Chris, come get in my selfie.
Denver appears in the doorway.
We don't allow photos.
Sorry, kids and their smartphones. You know how they are.
Don't do it again.
We won't. Sorry.
See, serious.
Denver turns away, maintaining an even smile.
Real nice guy.
Ross relaxes on the bed.
Let's go.
I'm good here. Unless Josie wants to.
Okay.
No, I'm good. Wouldn't want you touching my luggage anyways.
The women step out, followed by Chris.
Made a friend, huh?
Chris shuts the hotel door, leaving Ross alone in the room.
My name is Ross. I am the boss. Just took a loss. Still got the sauce.
Woo!
Yeah, I gotta write that down.
Ross reaches for his backpack. Now, the sun glares high in the sky as Josie struts along towing her pink suitcase. Tila follows behind her with a duffel bag. Rebecca carries her orange luggage as she walks on Chris's heels. Chris stops in front of the cabin with a blank stare as Rebecca comes up beside him.
You okay?
Yeah.
She continues into the cabin as his eyes shift over it. He maintains a vacant stare, studying the log cabin. He shudders before following the women. Shots of the town show an empty rocking chair on a porch, the deserted few buildings and storefronts, and old train cars waiting on the tracks by a tiny train station. In the cabin, Rebecca and Josie unpack clothes while Tila taps at her laptop.
What? Any luck?
No teardrop 5G.
Oh. A nice break from technology never hurt anyone.
Not when you're waiting for college acceptances.
You've already gotten into like a dozen schools.
My first choice.
Be grateful you got in.
Yeah.
Josie peeks behind a curtain in the room next to the beds.
I wonder if they have hot water here.
She peels off her top.
Oh.
What? Never seen a pair of double D's before?
Behind the curtain, please.
Josie sassily drops her top on the bed and steps behind the shower curtain.
Boob job at 17. You believe that?
Actually, I kinda do.
You guys talking about me?
Oh, no, nothing.
Tila dons a cowboy hat. Back in the hotel room, Chris sits at a desk.
This place is wild, isn't it? But this hotel hasn't changed in over 100 years. I wonder what brought the town down. I bet it was smallpox.
Ross wears headphones and mouths along with his music.
Smallpox, you know.
Chris turns and notices his distraction.
You're an entitled little prick. You know that?
Ross lifts his headphones off.
Were you talking to me?
Yeah, I was.
Huh?
I said this town, it's crazy, isn't it? It's like a portal back in time.
That's crazy. You know, no offense, Mr. C. Hey, check this out. The Old West is a snooze fest. I just want to get some rest, no more pests.
A woman sweeps the hall.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Did you see that maid? Mr. C, come on now. Be my wingman,
no.
Okay? I love her, I think. Be my wingman.
No.
Yes. Yeah, come on. Yo, excuse me.
Didn't mean to bother you.
Oh, no. You didn't. My teacher and I, we're writing a book about the town. We just want to ask you a few questions. We're interested, you know.
I'd love to hear about the town of Teardrop from a local.
I'm not supposed to talk to customers.
Okay, well, what are you supposed to do then?
Clean, quiet as a mouse.
Well, yeah, she's a maid, Mr. C. That's what she cleans. You know, I'm Ross the Boss. You can just call me Ross. I mean, Ross the Boss is like my nickname, my alias, you know, my rap name. It's nice to meet you.
He holds out a hand.
I'm sorry. I'm not allowed.
She tenses and steps out the door.
You're not allowed to shake. Damn, what did I do wrong there? Don't laugh, Mr. C. Don't act like you have.
Now, night falls on the town. In the guy's hotel room, the three students listen through a wall.
That sounded like it hurt.
No, that doesn't hurt. That's great positioning. That's what that is.
Ew,
you know what position that is, Josie?
Ew, shut up.
That's cowgirl.
That's inappropriate.
That's just the place we're in right now.
Later at the saloon, Denver pours a glass of amber liquid. Chris takes it from the bar and holds it up to him. Denver nods gently as Chris sips. Rebecca comes in and Chris joins her at a lantern-lit table.
Well, there are definitely guests here.
She rests her chin on her hands with excited eyes.
I haven't seen anyone.
I can hear them. Like, you know.
No, but I don't know what that is.
From your room. The kids are having a listening party at the moment.
You heard them.
Something to drink, man.
No, thank you.
Denver smirks and sets the bottle away.
Like you should be, us being the adults and all.
I had a little bit of a headache. I just think one will take the edge off.
A headache, huh?
Yeah, a headache. Denver here was about to tell us about why the town was named Teardrop.
The turn expectantly toward Denver.
You ask a lot of questions.
It's because he's a novelist.
Is he now?
Mm-hmm. Published bestseller. And he still graces us as a teacher.
What can I say? I love to teach.
What are your books about?
American Frontier Ghost Towns, and its book, singular.
Okay, he's being modest. He's writing a new one right now.
Well, to answer your question, the town was named after a little girl. A quiet child. Who loved her dolls made of straw.
A flashback shows a little blonde girl in bed.
Lorelai was a strange one, kept to herself and her toys, but she became a pariah around town. Kids pinched her, called her a freak. Anything to get a rise out of her. But little Lorelai wouldn't react. Kids being kids, they took it too far. They started pelting her with stones until she was bruised and bloodied. And still, the girl would not cry.
Tears well in Chris's eyes.
Legend has it, Lorelai never shed a single tear, no matter what anyone did.
Rebecca raises her brow.
Nowadays, we'd know she had a disorder. A genetic inability to cry.
Chris squints questioningly at him with a tight expression. He turns away, lifting his drink to his lips.
Well, that's some way to name a town.
Chris stares blankly as he drinks.
You are?
Rebecca watches Chris set the glass down.
I think I will have a drink.
Yes, ma'am.
What, we're allowed to have some fun, right?
In the hotel room, Josie takes a selfie as Ross tosses a baggie on his bed.
What I brought.
Are those brownies?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Edibles. Who's down to get baked? Josie, you're down. Tila, down to get baked.
Oh, sorry, can't. Studying. Tila, have you ever even gotten stoned? No.
No? Oh, we are so popping your weed cherry tonight.
No one is popping my weed cherry, or any cherry for that matter. Oh, come on. We'll guide you through it. We'll be like your green Sherpas.
Yeah, and these are edibles, so they don't hurt your lungs. I mean, it's weed, so you'll lose a couple brain cells. Big deal. You have enough for all three of us combined.
True. I don't know about that.
I hear Tila. Oh, you caught it. Josie. Ooh, that's the best one.
Josie sniffs her brownie.
Am I gonna freak out over this?
No, like, you'll get
am
high.
Am I gonna hallucinate and shit? Come on, it'll be fun, I promise.
Tila holds her brownie gingerly.
Is that Nutella?
Yeah, and cannabis butter. Whole jar of it right here. All right, ready? Let's all take it. 3, 2...
One bite, okay, one bite, that's it.
Okay, and then after that first bite, you'll eat the whole thing so you can get high. 1.
They all take a bite of their brownies.
Okay. Mm. Nice job, those are amazing.
Thank you. That's not the only thing I do well, Josie.
Josie furrows her brow. Now, the view hovers on the photo in the hall of Lorelai and a woman. At the saloon, Rebecca leans over a drink.
That portrait in the hotel entrance, that's her, right, Lorelai?
Mm-hmm.
What's her mother's name?
Alice. I think we've had enough story time for one night.
Chris turns thoughtfully as he lifts his glass. Denver steps away from the counter.
Maybe I'm a little tipsy, but I think he's kind of growing on me.
What? You're a little tipsy.
Don't you like him? I like him.
At the hotel, the students step into the hall and Josie poses with the portrait.
Josie, what are you doing?
Taking a selfie.
She's taking a selfie, duh. Let me get in there.
Guys, we're not supposed to take pictures.
Yeah. Get in here.
We're gonna get in trouble.
Come on.
They all pose for Josie's pictures with the portrait in the background. She looks down at the selfie and their images are blurred.
What the hell?
What?
Why do we look like that?
Either your phone is messed up or these edibles are kicking in quick.
What's going on?
Some drama, that's what's going on. Here, be quiet. Let's keep exploring.
I don't know about that.
Ross leans his ear close to a door, then swings it open.
Oh, God!
Inside, two figures sit in the dark.
Wait, Josie, give me your phone.
Just give me your phone, Josie.
Ross shines the phone flashlight over the figures, revealing them as scarecrows in vintage clothes.
What the F?
Ross steps in closer as the light shines up on their burlap sack heads. The girls tense in the doorway.
They're scarecrows.
What?
Just alone in the bed. Who does that?
It's freezing in here.
Yeah.
Ross shifts the light down on some broken glass.
And this vase must have blown off the dresser from the wind.
Yeah, those windows aren't open. Anyways, it still doesn't explain the voices. Guys, can we get the hell out of here?
Yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah, I mean...
Let's go, Ross.
There's more to see.
They step out of the dark room. At the saloon, Chris and Rebecca sit alone at a table.
I just can't get enough of this place. I can't. I want to drink it all in. Since we've been here, I feel like I tapped into a creative reservoir inside of me.
What about your new book?
Chris stammers and looks down at the table.
Hello.
It was rejected.
What do you mean?
Rebecca furrows her brow.
My publisher hated it. Hated it. She said it was uninspired. Actually, what she said was that I phoned it in.
Chris blinks back tears.
So, I'm starting over.
When did this happen?
Earlier this year.
Why didn't you tell me?
Because it's humiliating. It's deflating.
Tears well in his eyes and he swallows hard.
I've still been trying to process it for myself, I think.
Rebecca nods gently.
But since we've been here, for the first time in a long, long time, I feel like I have pages in me. Great pages. I want to take it a totally different direction. I don't want to write any more bland, dry stories about Western ghost towns. I want to make it personal.
Rebecca smiles at him.
I'm sorry they didn't like it. Fuck them.
He studies her face with a growing smile and nods.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck them. Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. Fuck them.
They clink glasses and Chris raises his in a toast. They drink, then their hands meet at the table. Chris brushes a couple fingers over Rebecca's as she grins softly at him. Chris rises from his seat as he leans into her.
Oh, you're drunk.
She holds up a hand, still grinning as he sits back down with a hurt look.
Not really.
Rebecca frowns.
Look, if this is gonna happen, I just want to take it really slow. Okay?
He nods politely.
We should go check on the kids.
Rebecca taps the table awkwardly as he stands grabbing his jacket. Outside, the kids walk along the road in the dark, carrying lanterns.
Do you guys think it's true?
What?
About Chris and Marie Panabaker?
Oh, no.
No, that's not true.
I wish it were true. It means I'm actually a shot.
Well, why don't you just date a guy your own age? It might actually work out for once.
Guys in high school aren't mature enough for me.
Really? No one in high school is mature enough for you?
Maybe at Hamilton.
I knew I should have gone to Hamilton. You know what? I'm high as shit. We are in the middle of nowhere. Let's just go back.
What? Dude, don't be a buzzkill.
Tila stumbles drunkenly.
Who are you right now?
I don't know, but I'm feeling kind of groovy.
Yeah, girl.
Wait, you say groovy?
Yeah.
Tila, no. Okay, now I'm sticking around. We don't say groovy anymore.
Well, we're saying it now.
Let me teach you what we do say, okay? We say what? Lit.
Oh.
All right.
Lit.
Lit. There we go.
Lit.
They step through a forest path.
Hey, guys, look at this.
Now, they arrive at an old barn.
Is that singing?
Sounds like it.
What did you put in these edibles?
A couple of grams of indica and some THC powder. I mean, they're strong, but that's it.
Guys, I'm either tripping really hard, but that sound is coming from inside that barn.
Oh, hell to the no.
Oh, hell to the yes.
The paws staring at the barn with their lanterns raised. Tila smiles gleefully.
I'm going in. Who's with me?
What? Guys?
Josie looks around in the dark and her face twists fearfully. Inside the barn, moonlight spills in the cracks of the wood walls. Ross steps in holding out his light as Tila and Josie follow.
Singing stopped.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Through the back window, two yellow eyes appear in the dark.
What the F?
Ross steps slowly closer with an inquisitive look.
Holy shit! Run!
The kids hurry from the barn and run into the adults.
Okay, right.
I'm so glad you're here.
Okay, there's something right. Fucked up in there, man.
Like what?
Fucked up. Mr. C, the eyes.
Mr. C, I swear to God, there's something in there.
Chris steps toward the barn holding up a lantern. He peers in the wide open door and steps inside, out of view.
Yes.
Rebecca's eyes widen.
Chris?
They got him, Mister. We go.
Chris!
Chris steps out of the barn casually.
There's nothing. Bunch of barn mice.
Yes, some barn mice from hell.
No way.
Rebecca takes Chris's lantern and looks skeptically at the kids.
Have you been drinking?
No.
Mm-hmm. Breath check. Ross?
No. Listen, Miss Harris, I haven't brushed my teeth since we got here, so for your own safety, keep your distance. You guys heard the singing, right?
Singing? Why are your eyes red?
I was in there and I had a near-death experience, Mr. C.
We're high shit!
They peer pressured me into doing it.
Wow, some team player you are.
I worked way too hard to throw everything away, all right? I'm literally going to be disowned by my parents.
Please, this can't go on my record. I have to get into pen.
Because she wouldn't have taken an edible if I didn't force her. Punish me. I'm not going to college anyway, so nothing to lose.
What? No. Look. It was my weed. That shit was way too dank. It's on me. Okay, Josie? I got this.
Okay. You guys, I don't care whose idea it was. It's not okay. What should we do?
Chris shifts his eyes between the kids and Rebecca.
Give a warning.
A warning.
You want it? Yes, a warning. Yes, a big fucking warning for each of you. Let's go. Let's go!
No, turn and walk. I don't even want to hear it. Chris, you're running a jungle. Walk, please.
There's...
Please.
The group walks away from the barn through the path. Now, the sun rises on the town. In the hotel room, Chris speaks into a small tape recorder.
We survived the night. Generally, a good sign when you're staying in a ghost town.
His eyes shut tightly as he holds his forehead. Flashes of a shadow and a rocking chair appear. Chris uncaps a bottle of white pills and taps some into his hand. He pops them in his mouth and grabs the recorder again.
The kids reported a couple of anomalies, but I'm not sold on it. When haven't you been to a ghost town that didn't try to pull a fast one? I know there's more to your teardrop. I just don't know where to look.
Across the room, Ross sits up in bed.
Wow. What time is it?
Good morning, Pumpkin.
What's up, Mr. C?
You ready?
Ready for what?
We're touring the town. We're waiting on you. Let's go.
Chris heads out of the room.
Wait, Mr. C, someone took my pants. I need...
There's a general store, courthouse, livery stable, got the old mine shaft about a quarter mile off. All inoperable.
Later, Denver leads the group in the middle of town.
What's still open?
The saloon, the hotel. That's what everyone wants, a drink and a warm bed.
What about the cabin that the girls are staying in? What's up with that?
That belonged to the old Judge of Teardrop, Judge Winker. Or the hanging judge, as they like to call him. See the gallows over there? That's where one of the most horrific hangings took place long ago.
As they turn toward the gallows at the end of the row of buildings, a flashback plays. A man smokes a cigar in a rocking chair, his eyes covered by his hat brim.
She was his wife.
A woman stands at the gallows with the noose around her neck. She stares out over a crowd of townspeople.
She told him he would pay for what he did. They all would.
The crowd in old Western garb stare up at her. The view flashes between the woman at the gallows and the portrait in the hall. The executioner kicks out her stool and Alice hangs from her noose. A little girl squeezes her eyes shut and the man walks away.
And no one would ever leave this place.
Josie and Tila share a confused look as Ross dances with his headphones on in the back. Chris pinches his eyes shut as an image of the hanged woman flashes over him.
That's it? Are you gonna leave us on a cliffhanger?
Your stay's not over yet.
Denver strolls away.
Why'd he hang her, Denver?
Hey, Mr. C, that guy's a weirdo.
Be respectful.
I agree.
God, such a weirdo.
What?
I don't...
Later, at the saloon, Chris taps at a typewriter. He's overcome with more flashes, now of Lorelei asleep in bed gripping her straw doll. He pops open his pill bottle and tips it back into his mouth taking some. He chews at the pills holding his head. Chris looks up from his writing with a thoughtful expression. At the cabin, Josie peers at her reflection in a severely weathered mirror. She runs her fingers through her hair, then grabs a small bag from her bed. She turns back to the mirror as she catches a figure standing outside the window, their shape visible through the old lace curtains.
Chris? I hear you.
She smiles through the thin curtains.
Don't say a word.
Josie tosses her hair back and unbuttons her top.
This is what you wanted all along, right?
She stands at the window, holding her cardigan blouse open slightly.
Well, that's all you get for now, you dirty perv.
She grins provocatively as the figure moves away from the window.
Chris?
Elsewhere, Ross steps along the building's porches, taping with the beat on railings with his headphones on. He holds a hand up, shielding his eyes from the bright sun. Across the way, the young maid in vintage clothes comes out of the small train station with a bucket. Ross hurries over to her as she wrings out a rag.
Yo, you need help?
No.
Okay.
The woman looks up startled and stands facing him.
Sorry. I forget who I'm supposed to be sometimes.
Ah, anxiety. Yeah, I suffer from it too. I even wrote something about it.
Yo, check it. I suffer from anxiety, bottled up inside of me like a knife in the side of me.
Writing rhymes in my diary just for the notoriety. Yeah.
She holds her hands tensely in front of her long apron.
You're very funny.
Thank you. I try. I try really hard, actually.
Hey, I get it. People often think I'm two-faced.
No, I don't think you're two-faced. I mean, I act like a douchebag because, I don't know, I think it makes me look cool.
She glances away questioningly.
What's a douchebag?
Oh, no shot. You don't know what a douchebag is?
She shakes her head.
What? No way.
Ross glances back at Denver.
Whoa. Oh, where are you from?
I've never left here.
You have never left here?
Can't. Not allowed.
Get inside!
Coming!
Whoa. Hey, he should not be talking to you like that.
He thinks he's my dad or something.
Hey, Denver, that's what a douchebag is.
Now!
She jumps, grabbing her bucket and mop.
Come to the cemetery tonight.
The cemetery? Tonight? You're totally a weirdo. Okay.
She hurries away and Ross pulls his headphones back on.
Got a date at the cemetery. Hope it won't be scary.
Elsewhere, Rebecca strolls along the road alone. She glances at the sound and pauses thoughtfully. She wraps her coat tightly around herself, shivering. In the saloon, Chris types intently. Rebecca pushes in through the double swinging doors, still wrapped tight in her coat as she approaches Chris.
I heard dogs.
Probably some wild dogs somewhere.
Preserve the devil.
The hellhounds you told us about?
And you.
I don't know.
The devil.
Okay, Chris, let's call it. Let's get the hell out of Dodge.
Not going anywhere.
I don't like it here. I want to go home.
Chris closes his eyes and sighs deeply.
You can come back on your own and write your book. Without us.
He rubs his face distractedly and grips the typewriter, looking up at her.
It's not just about my book.
What are you talking about?
He stares up at her with a knowing look. Outside, Tila sits in the rocking chair on the porch with a stack of books in her lap. One lays open in her hands and she flips the page. A gentle breeze sways her hair as she looks up from the book and over to the gallows next to her. A noose swings between the posts above the wooden step stool. Tila squints at it in the bright sun and shuts her book. She gets up and walks by the gallows as the noose sways in the breeze. In the hotel room, Chris opens a book and hands Rebecca an envelope from between the pages.
Found this in my grandfather's basement. That letter was written in this hotel more than a century ago.
I don't understand.
Rebecca, I've been looking for this place for years. Years. It's not online anywhere. It's not in maps. It's not in books. Okay? Nowhere.
Okay, you're not making any sense.
Read the letter. Read the letter.
Jeez, please. Okay.
Rebecca unfolds the brown paper letter.
My dearest son, I am sending you away from this wicked place. Promise me you will never come back here. Your loving mother, Alice.
Alice. Rebecca, I think that Alice is my great-grandmother. Alice, that's on the portrait in the hallway. Alice, that was...
Who was hung to death.
Yes. Yes.
Rebecca folds the letter and shoves it back at him. A flashback plays of Alice handing off the baby and the letter.
She gave up her son to get him away from this place. That baby was my grandfather. And she wrote this letter to give him when he was old enough.
Alice gives the letter to a woman at a small church house and runs.
I think that Alice got my grandfather out of here before she cursed this town.
My God, you don't really believe in curses.
Chris hangs his head.
I'll tell you what I do know is that the town of Teardrop began to wither away pretty quickly after that, along with its history and everyone in it.
You shouldn't have brought the students here.
I know that.
Do you understand how this looks?
Yes. Abso-fucking-lutely insane.
Why are you putting me in this position?
Because this is my family, Rebecca. This is my past. This is my history. Rebecca, I can't leave here. Yeah. Please. Please, you have to understand. I can't go. Not yet.
I wish you would have told me.
Chris stammers and reaches for her hand.
I should have.
Stop. Enough.
Rebecca, please.
She massages her temple and looks up at him reluctantly.
Okay. We stay. But it's for you.
Thank you.
She gets up swiftly and leaves the room. As another flash hits him, Chris grips his head and squeezes his eyes shut. His vision shows a man with a cowboy hat drinking alone at the saloon. Chris rubs his forehead. He stands abruptly, his eyes still closed, and steps over to the desk in the corner. He looks down at the desk with a determined gaze and slides open the top drawer. He takes out an old tin case of Edgeworth Extra High Grade sliced pipe tobacco. Beneath it, he grabs a straight razor and turns it over in his hands, furrowing his brow. He sets that down and grabs a newspaper from the drawer. He holds it up to peer at a blurred photo of the man in his visions. The cutoff title above the image reads, October 23, 1918. Hanging Judge of Teardrop. Elsewhere, Tila wanders out to the town road sign. She holds her hand up over her eyes as she peers down the desolate road. She scans to the left over hills and to a cluster of trees near the dirt road. Later, in the saloon, Ross sits on the counter rubbing his eye. Josie leans next to him with an annoyed expression. Rebecca steps inside looking around.
Where's Tila?
I don't know. She wanted to study outside.
I told you not to split up.
Behind her, Chris steps through the double doors.
Have you seen Tila?
No. I'll go look for her.
Chris turns quickly out of the saloon. Josie give Ross an irritated look.
What?
Outside, Tila strolls off the road with a concentrated expression. She walks into the trees and pushes a branch out of the way to see her name carved into the trunk of a tree. The letters are uneven and drip with blood. Tila furrows her brow, then looks down at the ground. Red drips fall onto the leaves by her shoe. Her eyes widen as the drips fall faster. She holds out her shaking hands to see blood on her fingertips. She turns her hands over with a look of terror and gazes up into the trees. Above her hang two nooses. She turns from the trees and runs into Chris.
Hey! Are you all right?
She looks at her hands and the blood is gone.
I don't know. I just...
Okay, listen. Hey. You're okay. Listen to me. When we're going back, we're going to sit in groups of at least two from now on. Okay? Let's go back. You're okay.
Chris glances back at the tree where no evidence of the carving or nooses remain. Later at the saloon, Rebecca wears her round glasses as she reads through Chris's writing. He watches her with anticipation, his chin resting on his folded hands. She taps the stack of papers on the table and sets them down. She slowly removes her glasses and folds them softly before turning to Chris with a dispassionate look.
It's just a rough idea right now, okay? I'm probably going to rewrite this a dozen times, but it would...
It's fantastic.
She grins at him.
Is it?
It is.
She holds his hand with a proud smile as he leans back in his chair.
Thank you for reading that.
Thanks for letting me.
Yo, you...
Denver pops open a bottle.
It's 3:45 p.m.
Yeah, Denver, I'm gonna hold off for a while.
Whatever you say.
He stuffs the cork in the top of the bottle.
But while you're here, why don't you tell us why you hung her?
Denver grins astutely.
You have a fetish for this ghost story stuff, don't you?
You gonna make me ask again?
Don't get angry on me.
I'm not.
The last thing I ever want to do is get you upset.
I'm not angry.
All right, I'll tell you. Just don't quote me in your book or anything. I prefer to be left anonymous. The hanging judge didn't have a trace of empathy.
In a flashback, the judge opens the door to Lorelei's house.
But it wasn't just the sinners who feared his wrath. It was his own flesh and blood, too. By the time Lorelei was 8, he had grown to hate her. Plagued him like a disease.
Now he drinks alone at the saloon. He stands kicking the chair.
So disgusted by what he created, he could only do the one thing he knew how.
Now he bursts into the house as Lorelei sleeps. He approaches the bed, then holds a pillow over her head.
Scream!
Her toys rattle on the table.
Why won't you cry?
Lorelei's straw doll shakes frantically in her hand.
No matter how hard he ever beat her, she wouldn't do it. Or couldn't do it.
She drops the doll and he releases the pillow.
He murdered his daughter that night. They say the judge had no sorrow. Not even a single tear.
He takes the pillow away to reveal Lorelei's dead eyes staring up at him. Alice comes in with the baby in arm and runs terror-stricken.
Of course, no one dared question the word of the hanging judge. Poor Alice took the blame.
Chris watches Denver with a fierce look.
The cries could be heard across Tidra.
No worse sound than a mother losing a child.
What about the baby?
What about the baby?
The baby, did he make it out alive?
You're living proof, my friend.
What do you mean?
I knew the moment you stepped foot in my bar. You look just like him. It's remarkable.
Chris grins with pleasure.
How do you know what the hanging judge looks like?
Photos we left behind. I reckon Chris could show you some of the old newspapers he's been finding.
Chris's smile falls as he stares back at Denver. At the cabin, Teela reads on her bed and Josie sits on the other.
Ugh, what a trip this has turned out to be. I'm gonna be so heated if next year's class gets to go to, like, Hawaii or something.
You're just mad Mr. C won't get with you.
Hey, I may have lost the battle, but not the war.
Okay, you're kind of like the female General Custer.
Who's that?
Do you, like, not pay any attention in class at all?
Hey, school isn't as important as real life experience.
Josie waves her phone, then poses for a picture. Josie notices a couple of thick scars on Teela's wrist as she looks up from her book.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Oh, it's fine. It happened a long time ago.
I've been told I'm a great listener, amongst other things.
I've been having some weird thoughts since we got here.
Like suicidal thoughts?
Sorta. I know them really well, so it's scary.
Well, you know what I think? I think you put too much pressure on yourself. I mean, you're never gonna look back and care about your GPA. 3.8, 3.9, what's the difference?
Weighted 4.0.
Okay, well, live a little. I mean, be dumb and stupid for a change. All those bad thoughts will go away. Promise.
Ross steps in with a liquor bottle.
Look what I found. Who's down to get old school drunk?
Now they sit in a circle on the floor.
Never have I ever dated a college boy.
College boys? No, but college girls? Several.
Several?
Several.
Drink up then.
All right.
Okay, my turn. Never have I ever tried to kill myself.
The hell? Josie.
What? It's true, I haven't.
No, that's not cool. I don't care.
I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah, see, Ross, she doesn't care.
Teela drinks.
Okay, then I got one. Never have I ever been a hoe. Drink up, skank.
Fuck you, asshole.
So fuck you. You're a DNA dumpster and that's all you're good for.
What, because I won't blow you?
No. All right, screw you. And you know what? Screw you, too. I stood up for you. Get out of my way.
No.
All right, you bitch. I got a date with the maid, so I'll see ya.
Ross takes the bottle and leaves them on the floor.
What a dick. God.
Josie crosses her arms, tearfully scowling.
It was fun while it lasted.
Oh, shut up.
Later, in the cemetery, Ross walks in kicking leaves and taking a hearty swig from his bottle. A collection of crosses stand erect from the grass under a tree. Ross examines the grave of Winifred Carmen, dated 1802.
Winifred Carmine. 1802.
He kicks a stone.
You would have never predicted this, would you, Winifred?
Careful where you step.
The young maid appears in the cemetery.
Gone doesn't mean they're gone away.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that.
Don't apologize to me.
She watches him intently and he grins.
Winifred? I apologize. Do you want are you old enough to drink?
She shrugs softly.
On some days.
Okay. Well, how about this one?
Nope.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good idea.
I really shouldn't be drinking this either. I mean, this was my dad's poison. He's a dry fucking drunk now, so.
He takes a swig.
It's just so exhausting being young, you know? Like, sometimes I wish I could just push a button and bang, I'm married and have a kid and I just have my shit together.
Being old isn't all that it's cracked up to be. Your body starts to rot, desiccate, and smell funny.
He gives her a confused look, then breaks into a smile.
Oh, gosh. You are unlike anyone I have ever met before.
I could be someone else if you'd like.
No. Just be yourself. I mean, that's what I'm into.
How do I do that?
Now, that is a damn good question. I don't even know sometimes. I mean...
She watches him patiently with a neutral gaze.
You know, you were right. This is peaceful.
They look to the horizon where the hides peeps over the hills.
Wait until the sun sets.
Mm-hmm. I'll be waiting on bated breath.
The fading sun is the one pure thing in this world.
He nods.
It's the last thing you see on the hanging tree.
Her gaze shifts down as tears twinkle in her eyes.
On the what?
She startles.
I'm not good at this.
No, it's all right. I'm not good at a lot of...
He turns to see her running away.
Hey, where are you going?
Catch me!
Catch you? Okay.
Ross runs after her through the trees.
I'm really fast, actually.
She holds the ties to her bonnet as she runs through the brush.
Where'd you go?
Ross pushes some branches aside as he comes upon an old man kneeling in a suit facing away from him. Ross glances at his bottle, then at the man.
Hey, excuse me. Have you seen a maid?
The old man spins around, his eyes a foggy white and mouth gaping with line markings on his pale cheeks.
It's a maid.
Ross stumbles and falls on his back. Back in town, Rebecca and Chris step trough the saloon doors into the sun. Rebecca turns with a shocked expression.
Is that Ross?
Ross crawls towards them on his hands and knees.
Oh my god.
Hey, you all right?
Whoa. Okay.
All right.
Take it slow.
Watch your chain.
My chain. Can you get my chain?
No, I'm not going to touch that. Get up. Yep, you good?
Yeah.
What have you been doing?
I'm good. It's too much sauce for Ross to boss.
Too much sauce.
Yeah, I don't think any of that is funny, Ross.
They lead Ross into the saloon where the girls wait at a table.
Where have you two been?
Stop it.
Making sure your friend doesn't have alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Josie. I didn't mean what I said earlier.
You smell like a frat party.
Guys, what in the hell is going on here? I was 18 once. I get it, all right? But with the drinking, with the weed, what do I need to do here, huh? Do I need to be the bad teacher? Calls you guys in, get you suspended.
It's just some...
I don't want to hear it right now. Do you have anything to add, Miss Harris?
We leave bright and early tomorrow. Set your alarms for 6 a.m.
Wait, I thought we were leaving Sunday morning.
Executive decision.
She scowls at Chris and he shifts his eyes irritated. Later at the cabin, Josie tests the bathwater with her hand, then climbs into the metal tub. She leans her head back, closing her eyes. At the hotel, in the hall, Chris sits on a sofa under the portrait, speaking into his recorder.
I've been having these migraines since I've been here. and a tear drop. I feel this rage that's coming over me, thinking about our time together. It's almost over. I can't leave yet. I feel like if I do, I'm not gonna get to come back. And I still have so many questions.
At the saloon, Rebecca rolls her luggage by outside as Ross and Tila play hangman at a table.
Okay, how about C?
There is a C. Hey, I told you there's a C.
There's a C?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now at the cabin, Chris stands outside, staring at the front door with a mean look in his eyes. His lip twitches and he looks down as water flows out from the front steps and down to his boots. He watches the flood of water, his eyes growing wide, and he rushes up the steps. He throws open the door and pauses on the threshold, tilting his head with a puzzled look. The bathtub through a gap in the curtains and steps closer with a captivated, unblinking stare. He squints his eyes as the person in the tub sits up. Lorelei peeps her head into the gap between the curtains and watches him. Chris gazes back at the little girl in the tub with wide, fearful eyes. Rebecca comes up behind him. Josie looks over her shoulder at him from the tub. He gazes at her nude butt.
Chris? Mr. C.
Chris!
He turns to Rebecca.
No, wait! Rebecca! Rebecca! Rebecca!
Get off of me!
I didn't do anything. I didn't touch her.
I don't believe you, Chris. I don't believe a single word out of your mouth.
I saw her. I saw Lorelei.
You are fucking unbelievable. And it's a shame, too, because I was just starting to like you.
I saw her! I fucking saw her in the bathtub inside!
I knew what you were. I should have trusted my gut. I'm such a sucker.
You knew what I was. I wouldn't make this up.
You're a writer. It's what you fucking do. It's over.
Josie watches in the window.
Where are you going?
Far away from you!
Rebecca struts off, leaving Chris in front of the cabin. He keels over, pinching his forehead as flashes appear of Lorelei's murder and Alice's hanging. He looks up at the open cabin door and Josie steps away from the window. At night, Rebecca strolls into the saloon and up to the bar.
Miss Harris, what's going on?
Ask Chris. Is there any way you could drive me to the nearest town?
As far as I can take you.
Thank you.
In the dark town, metal bars swing on a carriage. Now, Denver and Rebecca drive down the dirt road.
Beautiful car.
A nice old gentleman left it years back. Still hasn't returned for it. I figure he'll thank me for keeping the engine warm.
Denver stops the old Ford car at the Teardrop town line.
Oh. What is it?
Can't go any further than this.
Oh, I'll pay you.
Not about money.
What is it about, then?
I feel uncomfortable leaving the hotel. I'm sure you can't relate.
I can't.
This is the best I can do for you.
Seriously? I could have walked this far.
Truly and deeply sorry.
He turns away from her in the dark car and she gets out.
Thanks.
She grabs her suitcase from the back seat and starts walking. She turns around to see the car backing up the dirt road. Rebecca strolls down the road in the dark, towing her suitcase on its wheels. She glances behind her nervously and picks up her pace. Back in the cabin, the girls pack their clothes as Chris sits staring vacantly on the other bed.
Nothing even happened between us. You caught a look. Big deal.
So Mr. C accidentally walks in on you. So has the entire graduating class. Watch it.
It's just a brush.
Mr. C.
Chris. You can call me Chris.
Are you seeing things too?
Chris shakes his head softly, staring blankly.
No. I think we all need to get some shut-eye.
The girls stare over at him nervously.
I'm going back to my room. You guys stay out of trouble.
Hey, Mr. C, I was thinking that I'll just stay here with the girls so you can be alone.
Sure. When the hell not?
Okay.
Chris stands, not looking at them, and heads toward his door with a smirk. They watch him and glance at each other. Now, light peaks over the distant hills as Teardrop rests quietly in the night. In the hotel room, Chris's eyes snap open in bed. In the cabin, Ross sleeps soundly in a bed while Tila and Josie share the second. The view moves in closer to Tila, crying as she sleeps. Her eyes open. Tila sits up in bed with a fearful expression. Tears drip down her cheeks as she turns, looking down at the floor. She gets out of bed, notching a braided straw rope under it. She kneels down and pulls on the rope, taking it hand over hand as more and more rope streams out from under the bed. At the end of the rope, Tila finds a noose in her hands. She holds it up as the view frames her face through it. Tila stands, carrying the noose with her as she steps to the front door. She swings the door open and steps out into the lamplight and down the porch steps, dragging the rope behind her. At the hotel, Chris sits up mechanically. He looks over at the papers on the desk. Outside, Tila continues walking, barefoot in the dark. Chris tears off his bed covers and steps over to the desk. He squints down at the newspaper with the blurred photo of the judge. A manic grin starts to spread on his lips as he snaps out of it and runs from view. At the cabin, Josie wakes with a start.
Ross! Tila's gone!
Oh shit.
Hey! Tila!
Ross heads out the door. Outside the saloon, Chris runs up onto the porch with a fearful expression. He stares out at the gallows where Tila hangs from a noose. Ross and Josie run up behind him. Josie falters with tears in her eyes as she sees Tila swaying from the rope.
Pack your shit. We're getting out of here. Now.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
They turn on their heels and run. Later, Ross heads to the van with his duffel bag. He turns around to see the young maid silhouetted on a porch.
Ross!
Hey,
We're getting the fuck out of here. You should come.
She turns and takes off.
Follow me.
Hey! What are you doing?
He drops his bag and runs after her with a lantern.
Wait!
Now Chris bursts into the saloon.
Does this phone work?
He toggles a phone on the wall.
Hello. Hello. Hello!
Fuck!
Who are you trying to call?
The police.
Now, why would you do that?
Because there's a fucking dead girl outside.
Denver raises his eyebrows. Chris jumps back from the wall phone as Denver takes the handset to his ear.
This is Denver speaking. Yeah, he's right here. Yes, it is crazy how much like him he looks. All right. She wants to talk to you.
Who's that?
Chris stares apprehensively with frightened eyes. He steps forward slowly and takes the handset. Denver watches him with an even expression as Chris presses it to his ear.
Hello?
It was nice to see your face. You have turned into a handsome man, just like your grandfather.
Who is this?
You know who this is, my darling.
Chris drops the phone and jumps back.
What the fuck's happening here?
Same thing that happens every time. The face is the new, but it always ends the same.
Chris runs from the saloon, throwing open the doors. Denver watches him, grinning unfazed. At the cabin, Chris opens the door to Josie asleep in bed.
Josie. Josie, we've got to go.
He steps in as she opens her eyes, smiling. She turns to him, grinning widely.
Listen, I know you feel guilty. All right, but...
Chris keels over, gripping his head as flashes appear of Lorelai in bed. Now young Lorelai lays in Josie's place. She stares over at Chris as he wears a possessed expression. He snatched a pillow and holds it over her head. She kicks and struggles under him as he holds the pillow tight. Flashes of Lorelai's straw doll appear, frantically waving in her hand as she struggles. The doll falls to the floor. In a flashback, the judge lifts the pillow on Lorelai's dead face. Now, Chris lifts the pillow on Josie's dead face, her eyes staring vacantly up at him. Chris jumps back fearfully as the scene flashes between Lorelai and Josie. At the barn, Ross runs after the maid.
Wait, come with us!
Hey, wait! Hey, just hold on. Hold on, hey. Just listen to me.
She hunches, facing away from him.
Lower your lantern.
What? No, I'm not gonna lower the lantern.
Pretty please? You'll go wild for this. Everyone does.
Ross lowers his lantern, sighing.
No cheating.
What's that voice?
She turns to face him and his head tilts.
Lift your lantern.
He lifts the light to reveal the old man's face.
I can be someone else instead.
Whoever
you want.
All of us were hung at the neck. It's the worst way to go.
Ross jumps as a crowd of townspeople appear with white eyes and dark marks on their faces.
With everyone watching. With everyone laughing as you squirm.
The young maid appears again.
They're all me. And I'm them.
Ross stares at her fearfully in the lantern light.
Stop, you fucking freak!
I was a freak. You're gonna wish you got the rope.
She glances down tearfully. He drops the lantern. Ross spins around as pairs of yellow eyes appear around him in the dark. A pack of wolf-like creatures attack him and feast on his body. Their faint figures and red glowing eyes are just visible in the dim light of the lantern. At the hotel, Chris stares into the portrait of Lorelai and Alice as his hands shake.
You're dead. You've been dead for 100 years.
He glares at them. He whips around, looking down at the empty step outside the door. He turns around to find Lorelai and Alice standing before him. He holds his head as flashes makes them disappear. Outside, Chris stumbles in the dark back toward the saloon.
Russ! Russ! Rebecca?
Denver steps out in front of him.
I will not be the scapegoat for what you've done.
What I have done?
You have killed, Judge.
Chris holds his head as he recalls images of killing Josie and Lorelai.
What'd you do to me?
I myself have not done a thing. I told you to leave while you still could. Your usual, sir.
Denver holds up a bottle and Chris looks down at it with a horrified expression.
No. No!
He looks around searchingly, then notices Rebecca's orange suitcase sitting in the middle of the road. Denver grins evenly at him as he watches the suitcase topple over. Chris approaches the suitcase in the dark road. He steps towards it slowly and looks around. He kneels, unzipping it. He lifts the lid to find Rebecca's bloodied, severed head. He stumbles back to his feet.
Chris! What time is it?
You did it to us!
I need to know the time, Chris, because I don't make it a hair past 10.
Denver pulls out a revolver and sticks it in his mouth. He pulls the trigger, blowing off the back of his head as he falls to the ground. Chris turns slowly to the porch. A man rests in the rocking chair facing the gallows. Chris steps slowly toward him with a fearful look. The man taps his fingers on the armrests of his chair, rocking softly. As he approaches the judge, he takes a swig from a bottle. The judge turns to Chris and tips up the brim of his hat, revealing Chris's face looking back at him. Flashes show the man rocking in his chair with a cigar between his fingers. Now, Chris recoils, stepping away from the judge as he grins menacingly at him. Chris spots Lorelai and Alice waiting near the gallows. Chris steps towards them tearfully as Alice raises a noose. Chris looks up at an empty gallows, with a waiting noose and step stool. He glances down at the rocking chair, now empty. Chris shakes his head as tears well in his eyes. His shaking head falters and gives a slight nod as he steps forward. Chris approaches the gallows unblinkingly with a determined look. In a flashback, the judge opens the door to the cabin where Lorelai sleeps. He takes a swig of his liquor. Now he drinks and kicks back his chair in the saloon. Chris climbs the steps to the gallows. In the flashback, the judge holds a pillow over Lorelai's face as she struggles. The toys rock on the table. Chris climbs another step. Lorelai's dead face stares up at him and Alice comes in with the baby. Chris climbs another step. Alice hands a woman her baby. Chris holds the pillow, suffocating Josie. He climbs another step. Tila drags the noose in the dark. Rebecca's head stares from her suitcase. Chris stares at the newspaper. Denver blows his head open, and Chris steps onto the platform. The townspeople watch Alice at the gallows. The judge rocks in his chair. The view frames Chris's face through the hanging noose. He steps up on the stool. Alice stands on the stool. Chris grips the rope. Lorelai and Alice watch from the dark porch. Chris slips the noose over his head. Lorelai and Alice stare deadly at him from the rocking chair. Chris stumbles as the executioner kicks the stool out from Alice and the scene cuts to black. The saloon appears, lit up by lanterns in the dark of night. Chris sits hunched at the table. The typewriter sits before him. A mostly drunk glass rests to the side as his leather jacket sleeve rests on the table, the end stuffed with straw. The view reveals his face as a burlap sack with a stitched-on smile and black buttons for eyes. Credits appear. Directed by Stephen R. Monroe. Written by Spider Dobrodsky. Executive producer Ira Pincus. Produced by Stan Spry, Eric Woods. Line producer Cammie Norton. Director of photography Christian Klein. Production designer Reka Vivian Sabo. Edited by Sean Kane. Costume designer Edith Ryan. Music by Contorted Minds. Casting by Paul Ruddy, CSA. Jeff Branson, Murray Gray, Bradley Fisher, Rachel Thundit, Michael McLean, Megan Lee, Monroe Klein.
Now let's pass around them long neck bottles. Let's all go out on a spree.
Alice, Meredith Jackson. Lorelai, Ellie Grace Pomeroy. Old Man, Stephen M. Porter. First Assistant Director Christopher DiBenedetto. Second Assistant Director Oscar Zisman. Extras casting by Prime Casting. Legal services by Kevin Koloff. Catering by A Catering. First Assistant A Cameras Celeste Barbosa, Anthony Minasjan, George Ellett. Second Assistant A Cameras Daniel Rios, Brian Erb. Digital Imaging Technicians Amanda Berg, Hunter Truman. Stills Photographer Nick Ruffo. Gaffer Daniel Lewis. Best Electric Noah Shettle. Electrician Kyle Bauman. Key Grip Rick Rodney. Best Grip Josh Pennington. Grip Kevin Wright. Costume Supervisor Isabel Mondugliano. Costumer Hazel Mora. Assistant Costumes Parker Jesse Chase. Makeup Department Head Taylor Schulte. Key Makeup Artist Kelly Torres. Makeup Artists Teresa Riesch, Emma Common. Art Director Daniel Kleba. Art Supervisor Chloe Rose Bradburn. Set Dressers Magdalene Carranza, Jack Masura. Copyright 2022 Tubi Inc. All rights reserved. A white square folds into an origami airplane. Logo, cartel. White text appears over a gradient of colors. Logo, Tubi Originals.